Okay, so we're going to talk tonight about, instead of Parshas Vayikra, we've got coming up Parshas Zohar. That's the extra Torah reading, which takes place at the end of this Torah, or the Torah reading this Shabbos. It is always read on the Shabbos before Purim, and that is very significant, as we will see in just a second. So let's turn to the end of Parshas Kisetse, so that is going to be in it's in Devarim, the book of Devarim, all the way in the end of the Torah. So flip all the way to the end. It's chapter 25 in the book of Devarim. It also happens to be in your Arskroll Chumashim on page 1066, which is, I believe, the year William the Conqueror invaded Normandy.
Right, I can always remember that page.
Right, isn't that it?
1066.
Right.
I knew that.
Right, yeah, okay. Something like that, anyway. Okay, so here, the Torah, it's just three little psukim, although the impact of those three psukim is very, very wide-reaching. It says, Zachor, Esa Sherazolacha Amalek. Remember that which Amalek did to you. Baderech, when you were on the road, Betzeischem Mimitzrayim, and while you were leaving Egypt. Asher Karcha Baderech, they ambushed you along the way. Vayizanev Becha, and they, Zanov is a tail, so they came up from behind you. And they grabbed Kol Hanecha Shalim Acharecha, all the stragglers. They didn't attack head on or anything. They attacked the stragglers behind the camp. Ve'atoyefiyageya, you were tired and weary. Velo Yerelakim, and you were not God fearing. Okay? So there's a lot of description about like what happened and why it happened. But Vahaya, and it will be, Bahaniach Hashem Elokecha Lecha, when God leaves you alone, Mikol Oivecha Misaviv, when he gives you rest or respite from all of your enemies all around, in the land that he gives to you as an inheritance, as an ancestral inheritance, Timcha Ezecher Amalek, wipe out the memory of Amalek, Mitechas Hashemayim, Lo Tishkach. Don't forget. So, we have three psukim here. How many instructions were we given in these three psukim? Maybe. We'll see. Take a look. Read it through carefully. How many instructions were we given? Remember instructions when he says to do something. Okay, first word is remember. That's instruction number one.
Wipe out and remember.
Okay. Any more? That's it. That's it. Wait, but remember. What are the last words?
You shall not have to forget.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. So how many are there?
Three.
Three. Remember, wipe out, and don't forget. Okay? Those are the three. Now,
redundant there.
So Pasuk 18 is no, there's no instructions there. That's just telling us what happened, right? Pasuk 18 just says what happened. They ambushed you and all that. Pasuk 19 says when does this happen? When God gives you respite from all of your enemies all around and you're in the land, then you should wipe out the nation of Amalek. So when are we supposed to do so? Of the three commandments, one of them clearly is not applicable to us. Why?
We're not in the land.
And even the people who are in the land, what about the people in the land? So why isn't Israel? Yeah, they don't have. I don't think that you could say you could. Yeah, I don't think you could really even make a case that they have rest from all their enemies all around. No, not at all. I mean, they are busy defending themselves. This is only when the enemies aren't attacking anymore and everything is nice and peaceful and you're in the land, that means everyone's afraid to attack you anymore, you're real good. Then you go on the offensive, go get those Amalek guys and wipe them out. So we're not there yet. That's for sure. Even if we were in the land, even those that are in the land, they're not there yet. So of the three commandments, though, two of them remain. And they are, remember. And the first one, remember, doesn't have any limitations on it. As opposed to, is remember, wipe out, don't forget. So wipe out, we said, has got clearly got limitations on it. It's only at a certain time. And that seems, I think we could all say, has not come, is not available to us yet. We hope it will be, but it's certainly not available. But the first word and the last word, and notice how the first and the last of the three instructions are the very first word and the very last word, right? And, you know, and that's kind of, especially for the last word, you know, usually that word in that commandment, whenever you say that, it's usually the last word, right?
Yeah.
You know, whenever you're going like that?
It's a command.
And whenever I told you, don't forget, right? That's the last thing that's usually is said, and just like here, the last thing, after you say whatever you have to say, don't forget. That's usually the last word, and here it is, the last thing. Okay, so the first thing is remember, and the last thing is don't forget. So now, so let's ask ourselves very practically, how do you do that? We have two things to do. You have to remember and don't forget. And of course, I guess the obvious question is, what's the difference between remembering and not forgetting? I mean, if you remember, you didn't forget, right? And if you forgot, then you didn't remember. You know, like, oh, I told you not to forget. I told you don't forget. I forgot, you know? Like, I didn't remember. You should have remembered. I forgot. I mean, it's usually like, you know, they go hand in hand. So what's the difference between remembering and not forgetting?
Remembering, you talk about it, I guess.
Okay, very good.
Educate.
Very good, very good. Remembering is something that you can actively do. Right? And you will find throughout the Torah, one of the most famous remember the Shabbos day to keep it holy. And our sages say, what do you do? How do you remember the Shabbos day to keep it holy? So you have to make a proclamation. You have to say, today is Shabbos, it's a holy day. And our sages said, they gave us a formal way to do that. Because whenever it's a little fuzzy, that's when the rabbis step in and they tell you like exactly how to do it. So the rabbis created Kiddush. That's when we make Kiddush on Friday night. First thing we do before we eat our meal, and we stand up, or to stand up, sit, whatever you do, we make Kiddush. And Kiddush is a formal statement whereby we remember the Shabbos day. Okay? So even if the rabbis didn't make Kiddush, a person would still have to do something along the lines of saying, today is the Shabbos day. Actually, if you saw someone and you said, good Shabbos, that would also be remembering the Shabbos day. It's just the rabbis didn't want to leave it fuzzy, so they said, no, take a glass of wine. They made it very formal, so they'd be sure that, you know, it made a ceremony out of it, so you're sure that you do it. But really, you must say something. Okay, so therefore, remembering is an active thing, okay, and not forgetting. Therefore, what is not forgetting?
Yes, know the signs. No, be aware when were they around. Be able to recognize.
Okay, so being not forgetting is something that you. It's in your head.
Or write it down.
It's in you. So what you do in your head, it's the way that you feel, think, whatever.
What about writing it down?
Well, you could write it down. There's only one problem.
You have to remember.
If you're like me, I write it down, but then I don't look at my list. I write down my to-do list, then I just don't look at my list. That's a problem. That's my problem. Right? So they wouldn't say, then you'd have to say another commandment. Look at your list. Write it down, and then commandment number two would be look at your list. Right. On the short list, it says look at the big list. Right. Okay, so if not forgetting, yeah.
What about, because you're saying this.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna not forget.
Right.
Okay. If everybody is supposed to hear it once or twice or whatever, then you're not gonna forget.
Right.
Yes.
So practically, on a real technical basis, this coming Shabbos, we are going to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar. That means that we're going to read this portion from the Torah, even though it's not the scheduled portion. And when we do, and everyone listens to the, you know, someone's going to be called up, they're actually going to make a bracha, they're going to read the Torah, and we're going to hear it read, so that will be our official remembrance. The fact that we remembered to do that shows that we didn't forget, right? The fact that that it's on the schedule, it's in the calendar, and we're going to remember to do that, it shows that we didn't forget. But we have to really ask ourselves in a broader sense. Now that we talked about the technicalities of it, what is this idea? What is it that we are really supposed to remember, that we need to always remember? When do we do this? When do we carry out the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek?
When you're doing it before Purim.
Yeah, well, Purim. When does the Torah say we're supposed to carry out the mitzvah? We're supposed to do it. We're supposed to wipe out Amalek.
When we have peace.
From all of our enemies all around. Now, the way, if we have peace from all of our enemies all around, that would seem to me that everyone's really respecting us. So I would think, where are you wiping out Amalek for when you have peace? I mean, if you have peace, that means, obviously, we're powerful. Yeah, we're pretty powerful. We're respected. Maybe they're already wiped out. Right? What's the point of wiping them out when you're flying high and everything is going well? What's that all about?
Because around the corner is always a mullet doing something.
Yeah.
So you've got to think about it in the peaceful time.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be at it when there's wartime.
Okay. So the Amalek is there, for it's always around the corner. That's an important idea. So what we're being told to do is, like, this is very different than you know, after the Second World War, the Holocaust, and the Jewish world looked around and they realized that 6 million people had been killed. You know, it's very interesting. I was reading an article that was written within a year or two after the Second World War, and the guy was lamenting the 5.5 million people that had been killed. And I realized that, you know, it took him a while to even them, like, he was talking about the 5.5 million. It got upgraded to 6, you know, like, they didn't, even then they didn't have a handle on what was going on. So after the war was over, what did the Jewish people started saying? What was, like, the rallying cry of the Jewish people?
Never again.
Never again. There you go. I was part of that, like, never again. And we had the JDL, and they made marches, and, you know, never again. And there were Holocaust survivor organizations. Remember was a big thing. Remember, never again. Don't forget, right? So, I all of those things said, but all of those things were actually missing the point. They were missing the mitzvah, I believe. See, all of those things were thinking about the bad that Amalek had done to us, and they didn't want Amalek to do that to us again. Never again. It's very interesting, in my opinion. Jews were screaming at the top of their lungs, never again. But the only ones that were listening to them were the Jews. You know? If the non-Jews had been listening to them, it would have been a little bit more effective. But I don't think anybody is listening except the Jews. Jews really, you know, preaching to the choir. And the rest of the world was kind of like, You know, like, all right, already enough. Okay, you know, they put up with it, but, you know. Now they haven't. Now they don't even put up with it anymore. Now they're totally tired with it. Don't I want to hear about this anymore? Don't tell me about, you know, you Jews. You're all rich and you're all, you know, don't tell me about your pain and your suffering. You know, you don't have any pain and suffering. So the world doesn't want to hear about it anymore. What I think the world was missing, what we're missing, and therefore the world is missing, is that the Jewish people, after the Second World War, and any time, we have a solemn duty to wipe out Amalek. Now, that means that Amalek is the evil in the world. When we say never again, that means we don't want the evil to hurt us. We're going to protect ourselves. Matter of fact, many people said about the state of Israel, now we have a state of Israel, and if they try to do that to us again, we will be able to defend ourselves. That's also missing the point. The real point of this mitzvah is that we are supposed to wipe evil out of the world so that it doesn't exist. And it can't hurt Jews, and it can't hurt Somalis, and it can't hurt Croatians, and it can't hurt anybody. Right? That the evil will be wiped out of the world. And we won't be able, and we won't let it happen, meaning that the evil won't be able to infect the world anymore. That is a solemn duty. That's a duty that can only be carried out by the Jewish people. And when it says to us, we have to remember and not forget, we have to not forget, that means all of the time, that the Jewish people have a particular mission. They have a mission. And that is, again, something that only, you know, the uniqueness of the Jews. We have a very, very holy mission. Our mission is to wipe evil out of the world. Now, the world, we're not, and what the world doesn't like, what the world doesn't like is when, you know, we talk about Jewish suffering and things like that. They don't like that. They don't like to hear us talking about Jewish suffering. Ah, you Jews, how are you suffering? All I know is the Jews are rich. Jews take advantage of everyone. If the Jews would get their focus back on the fact that we are going to ultimately wipe evil out of this world, then we would be much more focused on what we're supposed to do. Because we have a holy mission. This is why every time in the Torah when it says remember, there are certain things that we're supposed to remember. But this one, it says not only remember, but it also says do not forget. Do not forget. And that means that at all times, besides for publicly proclaiming, maybe to ourselves, but proclaiming that we have this, that we remember what Amalek did to us, we are not supposed to forget the fact that we have a particular mission, which means that we have to always view ourselves as a people with a mission. And that is all the time. That's all the time. That's when you go to Kroger's, right? When you go to Kroger's, when you do anything, whatever you're doing, wherever you're doing. So, in a small way, in a large way. And the large way is, we're ultimately going to wipe out Amalek. But we're not really ready to do that. But in the meantime, we have to remember that that's our mission. And we can't just allow evil to prosper, or worse yet, to be propagated by ourselves, because we're the people that have a mission to wipe it out. So we certainly can't be purveyors of evil in any way. That is what Los Ishkach means all the time. We have to be telling ourselves all the time that our mission is to wipe the evil out of this world. It's not just to not let them do it to us again. We have to get rid of them. There shouldn't be any of them. Not only should they not do it to us again, they shouldn't do it to anyone again. It should never be done again, that there should be no evil in this world. Now, of course, we have to get to a point where the world has to get to a point where we can do that. And that's only when all of our enemies all around, when God gives us respite from our enemies all around. In the meantime, Well, he doesn't give us respite from our enemies, so we don't have that obligation because we're not in a position to do it. People are still giving us a hard time. Well, so we are told when he gives us respite from our enemies all around, there will come a time when we won't have that anymore, and that is what we need to do. That is really what King Saul was supposed to do, because he defeated his enemies all around, and he was the king of Israel, and it was supposed to be time to go do that, and he didn't do that. And that's the story we read, is how he completely botched up the mission. But in the meantime, it is for us to remember and not to forget that we have a mission to wipe evil out of this world, and we're going to do it someday. And that we can practice all the time, in many ways, great and small, everywhere we do, everywhere we go, everything that we do. That we can always practice. That we can always be a part of. That is, we have to stay in shape. You know, if you forget about the message, if you forget about the mission, then, you know, we're never going to have the opportunity to really carry out the mission. But if we live with the mission very clear in our minds, then we will have that opportunity to carry it out. So this, the state, the moving towards Israel is a very important step, meaning the Jewish people moving towards Israel. And that's how I would characterize us in the current era. You know, we're moving towards Israel. More and more people are physically moving there. Israel occupies a greater focus. Israel occupies a greater percentage, ever greater percentage of the world's Jewish population. You know, we are moving towards Israel. The when we move towards Israel, and when Israel is no longer harassed by its neighbors all around, then it'll be time to wipe out Amalek. Amalek is very aware of this. So as Israel moves towards, as the people Israel move toward the land of Israel, Amalek is aware of that coming. And that doesn't bode well for Amalek. So that's when Amalek usually tries to throw up roadblocks and prevent this from happening. So this is the story of Purim. Purim was one of those times. The people had been allowed by Cyrus to return from Babylon and Persia to Israel. And they started to rebuild the temple. And then there was a lot of objection, a lot of noise was made by the locals because they didn't want to see that happening. So they slandered the Jewish people to Cyrus, and Cyrus put a halt on the rebuilding of the temple. Haman came along, and Haman said, we have it as it's halted right now. We have to close it down for good, because he did not want, if it's halted, it could always restart. So he wanted to see it halted for good. So he says, well, it is halted for good. I have to take extreme measures to make sure that it doesn't restart. And that's when he came up with his plan and tried to wipe out the Jewish people. You know, when we turn the clock way ahead to the near present time, to the near past, you know, the only other time in history that we find that there was an attempted genocide equal to Haman is in the Nazi period, the Holocaust. And that also has a parallel because, Haman, Hitler related, but the parallel is that the Jewish people were returning to Israel. That is when it was in that early half of the 20th century that the move towards Israel was gaining momentum. And there was all this talk about a Jewish state. There hadn't been one yet. There was talk about a Jewish state. That is when Haman sits up and he says, we have to do something. Because if they return to their state, then the next thing that will happen is they'll gain security. Then the next thing that will happen is they'll wipe out Amalek. So if you're Amalek, you need to intervene now while you still have a chance. You have to do an intervention. You have to stop this from happening. It's going in a bad direction. Right? Those are the only two times in history, unless you want to go all the way back to Lavan. Right? Lavan is also. Lavan's in there too. So that's we'll talk about that when when we get to after Purim and Mirtz Hashem, we start talking about the Seder. We'll talk about the role Lavan played, because Lavan also tried to totally wipe out the Jewish people, right, by killing Yaakov. Right? So that was also going to be a total destruction of Jewish people. But otherwise, we find lots of persecution, and we find lots of abuse of the Jewish people. But there usually were things like expulsions was the primary thing. Many times there was slaughters, but no one attempted genocide. No one attempted absolute genocide, except for Haman and Hitler. Right? And, you know, Haman tried to do it the most thoroughly, and Hitler also tried to do it, you know, at least as much as he could. If he would have had his druthers, he would have, you know, wiped out every single Jew in the world if he could have gotten his hands on him. He said he was going to try, right? So he clearly was trying to do that. But both of them are associated with the return to the land, because we have to get to the point where we have this description is followed. When you are in the land, and when God gives you respite from your enemies all around, then you have to wipe out Amalek. Well, that means you have to get back to the land. So, when Amalek sees us returning to the land, then they try everything to stop us. And that brings us to, you know, our current day. The hot topic for the day is, you know, is criticizing Israel anti-Semitism. The answer is, you're darn right it is, because Israel and the Jewish people cannot be separated. And criticism of Israel and trying to limit it from propagating is also the measure of Amalek that wants to prevent Israel from gaining security, gaining control, securing its borders, then having peace. And then once they have peace, well, you know, the next thing is there goes, boom, Amalek. So Amalek says, no, we don't want to see that happening. And that's when Amalek will get even more and more and more wild. So this is something that we have to be aware of.
But they're doing it in the Arab League, not the Arab League, but the Palestinians.
Yeah, that's right.
They're trying it now.
That's right, exactly. So it doesn't end, and of course, why would it end? It doesn't end because until we've wiped them out, they're going to try to live, right? that's understandable. So what we are waiting for, just to sum it up, what we are waiting for is the time that we have respite from all of our enemies all around. I'm not sure that you and I can do too much about that. Us sitting here cannot do too much about that. But one thing that we can do is to keep ourselves focused on the fact that we ultimately have a mission, and the mission, we may not forget about the mission, and the mission is to wipe out Amalek, which means the mission is to make the world free of evil. Not just become secure enough so that they can't hurt us. That's not what the purpose of having a state in Israel is. The purpose of having a state in Israel is that we can make the world free of evil. That's a much greater and grander mission. And to tell you the truth, I think that that is the mission that we should be really promulgating and talking about. And when we don't talk about that, and we just talk about, we want a place of security so you can't hurt us anymore, I think it actually makes the people all around us get angry at us and say, oh yeah? You're just looking for a place to be safe? Well, no, we're not going to let you be safe. Now, if we would be looking for a place where we could free the world, from which we could free the world from evil, maybe that would be a little bit better. So, you know, I just heard again, this is a very popular refrain, that, you know, people say, well, look at what the state of Israel gave us, Waze and Mobileye and all that, you know. No, what we have to say is the state of Israel is going to give us a world free from evil, not Waze and Mobileye. and pills that you can swallow, but that there won't be any evil in the world, that would be a great contribution to the world. Okay, we'll stop with that.